Hey there, how's it going? This is Jason Murchie. I'm the host of Values and Ethics from Living Room to Boardroom on World Talk Radio, coming to you from San Diego, California. I'm pleased to be doing a show about the values divide. You may know that I have a blog called The Values Divide, and that's at www.thevaluesdivide.com. I started that out as a way to talk about this last election, the presidential election, and it seemed as though we had a red state, blue state difference in America, and to some degree, there are values differences throughout the world. I think if you look in the news, you can see pretty clear evidence of values differences between the mainstream Islamic world and the mainstream Christian world, or the Europeans and the Middle Easterners, things like this. But there are also other potential values divides. The words family values, corporate values, political values, religious values, moral values, liberal values, conservative values, wise values, and selfish values all come to mind. So to that end, I have two guests that can provide some information and offer some insights that can help yield some conclusions about to what degree does America have a values divide, and if so, what does that mean, and what can be thought about or what can be done about it. So please stay tuned, and I will continue with the idea of exploring the values divide in just a few minutes.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be on the air, behind the mic?
Are you an expert in your field or just passionate about a particular topic?
Then World Talk Radio has a place for you. You could host your own professional show and share your message with the world.
World Talk Radio is producing a new fall lineup and is interested in hearing your show ideas. Let us help you start your own radio show today from anywhere in the world.
Call right now to find out how you can become a host. It's easier than you think. Call 858-836-0164. Or email us at newshows@worldtalkradio.com.
How do you like your coffee? Not all coffee is the same. Kona coffee beans from Hawaii are some of the best anywhere. But not all Kona coffee is the same. Aloha Island Coffee, handcrafted like fine wine, is a family-owned private Kona plantation. They've created the finest boutique coffee you'll ever drink. Aloha Island Coffee, rare, very special, naturally low in acid and pesticide-free. Click on the banner on the Chef Larry Show page, AlohaIslandCoffee.com.
Listen, the world is talking. World Talk Radio.
To speak with our show hosts or guests during the live show, call us toll-free in North America, 888-514-2100. Everywhere else, call 001-858-268-3068.
Hi, welcome back. Well, you can see different perspectives on life if you look at Israelis and Palestinians or Americans from different parts of the country, religious Americans versus secular Americans. Some of us have a more liberal outlook and some of us have a more conservative outlook. We value different things. And I think that some values differences are entirely appropriate. I mean, we don't all have to value money versus free time in the same exact way. You know, in regard to that, whatever you want to do is perfectly fine. On the other hand, though, if we have vastly different values in regard to how the country ought to be going, that creates a real rub for some of us who have disagreements about what, let's say, the majority values, or what those in power value, or what our neighbors value. And we have to try to figure out, to some degree, how much agreement there is and how much we can all be on the same page, and then how much we ought to respectfully disagree about things and use dialogue and other methods of coming to some conclusions. I'm happy to welcome Alan Abramowitz. He's a professor of political science at Emory University in Atlanta. He received his BA from University of Rochester and from Stanford. He received his PhD. He's authored or co-authored 4 books, dozens of contributions to edited volumes, and more than 40 articles in political science journals, dealing primarily with political parties, elections, and voting behavior in the U.S. His most recent book, Voice of the People, Elections and Voting Behavior in the United States, was published in 2004 by McGraw-Hill. A recent research paper by Professor Abramowitz notes that people in the U.S. do seem divided. He says, quote, the high level of ideological polarization evident among political elites in the United States reflects real divisions within the American electorate. So I'm happy to welcome Professor Abramowitz to the show. Hello there.
Hi, glad to be with you.
Hi, well, thank you. Would it be okay if I called you Alan?
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. So you have a lot of interest and experience in studying what Americans are thinking, what they value, how they're voting, and how they participate in our system. Share a little bit about why that interests you so.
Well, I guess I've always been interested in elections and public opinion ever since I was really an undergraduate, and then in graduate school. It just always seemed to me that public opinion and elections were in some ways the, you know, the foundation of our democratic political system, and it was very important to understand what people were thinking about, what their concerns were, and then how they acted on those concerns, and how those concerns were then sort of perceived and acted on by our leaders.
Mm-hmm. Well, what are some of the things that affect public opinion? And is it fair to say, first of all, I guess, that public opinion is really just this aggregate of many millions of opinions, maybe using statistics?
Excuse me, right. There are many ways of looking at public opinion. One way is to look at the public as a whole, and we can look at the results of national polls and things like the president's approval rating or public opinion on particular issues like abortion. But in some ways it's more interesting, I think, to go a little bit beyond that and recognize that the public can be broken down into many different subgroups that people differ in terms of, first of all, their degree of interest and involvement in politics, and secondly, of course, people differ in terms of their backgrounds, values, what issues they're particularly concerned about and what approach they bring to the political process.
Can you share an example of a relationship, I'm thinking statistically when I say that, mm-hmm. between a particular variable like a person's education or their ethnicity or some other method of categorizing them and some belief that they do indeed have that is, let's say statistically significant?
Right. Well, in today's politics, one factor that's become increasingly important, actually, is people's religious orientation.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking here so much about their denomination, although that makes some difference. And that's historically been important in American politics. But today, what's become more important in the last, I'd say, 20 or 30 years has been people's religious beliefs and convictions. And whether people hold to what you might call a more traditional kind of set of religious beliefs and values or a less traditional or secular set of orientations. And we find that generally those sort of orientations, whether one is on the kind of traditional side of things or on the secular or non-traditional side of things, correlates pretty strongly today with people's voting behavior and their views on a wide range of issues.
So then it is fair to say that there's a kind of a values divide between those who tend to see things in a religious way and those who tend to see things in a secular way?
Yes, and I'd say between those who see things in a more traditional religious way, on the one hand, versus those who are either secular or may have a somewhat less, you know, less traditional sort of religious orientation. And we find generally that people who are more traditional, meaning have more of a kind of fundamentalist religious orientation, and or people who identify themselves as evangelical or born-again Christians, for example, you know, tend to be increasingly on the Republican side in elections, taking conservative positions on a range of issues, particularly, of course, the social or cultural issues, whereas those who are more secular or non-traditional tend to have more liberal views on those issues and to vote generally for Democrats.
Okay. And there are other divisions that can be looked at. Do you?
Sure.
Do you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's still an economic divide and a racial divide in the United States, where we find, you know, that generally minorities, African Americans, and other minorities to some extent, you know, tend to vote Democratic still. That generally lower income people generally tend to be more likely to support Democrats if they do vote, and that, you know, the affluent, you know, tend to be more Republican. But again, you know, these aren't hard and fast divisions. I mean, these, what we're talking about here are just tendencies, and that's very important to understand. And so there are many exceptions to those rules. I'm sure a lot of people are thinking, well, I know someone, you know, who's a very affluent and who's a liberal Democrat, or someone who's, you know, relatively not very well off economically, who's a conservative Republican, and that's certainly true. And even these generalizations about religious beliefs have many exceptions.
Right. I find it interesting to think, though, that these things probably aren't chance, and that when you see something like African Americans tend to have liberal beliefs in a certain way,
right,
politically, you know, like, let's say over here you have this idea, but also, you know, blacks tend to be moving a little bit toward the conservative religious party, I think, in that, you know, they're not just automatically throwing support at the Democratic Party or the, quote, liberals, but they're thinking twice about things like abortion and death penalty, mm-hmm. And it's just interesting to think about how that all happens and the way that politics kind of begins to get
right,
more support.
Right, because we find, I mean, some of these sorts of divisions in American society kind of overlap, and some of them sort of cut across each other. And so, you know, people may be on one side of the divide when it comes to, you know, their economic background and interests, and on a different side when it comes to their sort of religious beliefs or values. And so one has to look at, you know, what happens when these things come into conflict with each other, as they sometimes do.
Mm. And it's also interesting to think about the origin of values. For example, somebody who is a fiscal conservative, it seems as though you can interpret from that it means that their values are such that they think a number of things, you know, and you can list those out, and they're probably likely to be true. You know, A, government is inadequate to handle people's problems, or B, government gets too big and unwieldy and it should be pared back, or C, government spends money foolishly and therefore I should get to keep more of my money, and so on and so forth. So that's kind of what the values divide kind of represents to me, is the fact that certain people believe certain things, well, because it makes sense to them, it works for them, it speaks to something deep within them, and I just like to see the way that plays out, you know, the way that you can see
right.
A conservative argue, you know, the government takes too much of our money, you know, tax should be flat at 20% or whatever, and then you see a quote progressive say something like, well, you have to pay for roads and schools and defending ourselves against the bird flu and
right.
You know.
Well, what you find also is that, I mean, many people, I would say most Americans, in fact, really have some of both sets of values. that most of us are not, you know, 100% in one camp or the other. And so what you find is that Democrats and Republicans tend to emphasize, you know, certain parts of that argument that have the greatest popular appeal. And so what Republicans, generally, or conservatives would tend to focus on would be some of these sort of general philosophical principles of smaller government and greater individual freedom that most Americans tend to support, whereas Democrats tend to focus on particular needs and programs that provide more concrete benefits like Social Security and Medicare and so on that also have very broad popular support. You know, so again, it's not an absolute divide here, and it, you know, part of it depends on how people come out, depends on exactly sort of how the issue is framed, and whether we're talking about philosophical principles or whether we're talking about, you know, specific government programs.
Yeah, and it also raises the question, how much do people like me and other types, you know, pundit-type people and the media and political parties, how much do they fan the flames of this division between us? Because I'm not sure if division is really a positive, has a positive connotation. I think it's sort of a negative idea. So then
right.
The question is, you know, how much are these values differences, this values divide, appropriate, natural, and normal, you know, humans disagreeing about stuff,
right.
versus political parties saying, you know, are you going to let that other party get into power so that they can totally screw you in this way or that? You know,
right.
what do you think about that idea?
Yeah, I think there's no question that politicians and parties sometimes try to exploit these sorts of divisions to their own benefit. We've seen that in recent elections, that, you know, certain issues get played up you know, that may be very divisive because one party or the other, you know, thinks that, you know, it's what they call a wedge issue, something that can divide the opposition and allow them to win over some of the supporters of the opposing parties. And that's just, it's almost an inevitable part of the political process, of a competitive political process. And to a certain extent, I think these, you know, divisions are real and they're natural, and there's nothing wrong with having disagreements having candidates and parties really articulate diverging positions on issues, because that's how we get, you know, some degree of popular control, hopefully, over what our leaders are doing. We have to know what they stand for and what the differences are. You know, on the other hand, I think that there's no question that there's a tendency to exaggerate the differences in the heat of the political campaign and trying to win office.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that there's a difference that you can think of as being a kind of a vertical difference rather than horizontal? I think of a red state, blue state thing
mm-hmm.
as being a kind of a horizontal difference, and I think of this other values divide being kind of vertical, where you have elite opinion up on top and you have, quote, popular opinion beneath that, I think that's probably the appropriate way to organize that. And the question is, you know, is there a values difference between those who have more power and those who do not have more power? Those who live in, you know, a smaller town versus those who live in a bigger town. Those who are elected and those who are doing the electing. Do you think things like that?
Well, I think there are always some differences between, you know, the political elites on the one hand, the political decision makers, and the public. I mean, certainly, I think the leaders are concerned about, you know, the views of their constituents. But what's happened in American politics, I think, is that we're seeing increasingly leaders are not necessarily concerned with the views of the entire public. They're concerned with the views of the types of people who elect them to office. And what we find is that increasingly the types of constituencies or what you might call the core constituency or the base of each party is increasingly sort of distinctive. And Democrats tend to represent one type of constituency and Republicans tend to represent a different type of constituency. And they don't feel they have to worry that much about the views of the other side. And because more and more of these constituencies that are electing our leaders are relatively safe for one party or the other.
And we'll be an example of the quote Democratic base and the Republican bases.
Right. Well, for example, I mean, you know, we can think of it in terms of states or in terms of congressional districts. Certainly, you have certain states that, at least in presidential elections, are now, you know, considered, you know, pretty safe territory for one party or the other. In the last few presidential elections, we've seen that, you know, even some of the big states like New York and California and Illinois, for example, you know, are considered pretty safe Democratic constituencies, whereas some other states like Texas and some of the other states in the South and out in the Rocky Mountain West are considered, you know, pretty solidly Republican. And there are many congressional districts like that. You have districts that are just overwhelmingly, you know, Democratic or Republican, where, you know, the representatives from those districts, they don't really have to worry about the opposing party. They don't really have to worry too much about the general election. It's really the primary and the voters in the primary who are important in those districts.
Mm. Well, we have to take a short break. Could I get 5 more minutes of your time?
Sure.
On the other side of the break? Okay, I'd like to ask you about one of the themes of the last election. I think it was the last election, and that was when John Edwards was running. He often used a term or a phrase, the people versus the powerful.
Right.
And I'd like to get your analysis on how legitimate that is versus how much of a soundbite slash
right.
Trick that is.
Okay.
So to the listener, I'd say if you're interested in that idea, please stay tuned, and we'll continue discussing in just a moment. It's Professor Alan Abramowitz from Emory University in Atlanta, and I'm your host, Jason Murchie. We're talking on values and ethics from living room to boardroom on World Talk Radio.